Okay, I'll speak from here, if you don't mind. As Anna said, the title is Global Emergent Behaviors in Clouds of Agents, and my co-author couldn't make it, so I'm presenting the work, and we acknowledge the support from the National Science Foundation and from AFOSR. I'm going to switch between the slides, and I became an expert in extracting videos from YouTube yesterday. So I'm going to try to motivate my bio-inspired, okay? And that's with these movies, if I can get them. So I'll do a replay here, and what you see is these agents, they seem to be ants, but let's call them agents, and they randomly go around, and suddenly one of the agents kind of finds an interesting object, and before you know it, other agents find the same interesting object, and although most of them seem to be randomly going around, in fact, you as a human looking at this video recognize that something is happening. And some of the ants discovered that if they go to the bank and cash the dime or whatever, or the euro, they will become rich. So that's my first comment. Now, let me look at, let's see, another video, because I want to contrast this biological and show you that there are different types of behaviors and which one I'm referring to. So if I'm correct here, you won't see much. You'll see some flashing points. I don't know from where you are. You see one or two here and there. And as time goes, and if you are, if you pay attention, you will see that suddenly there starts building up a few more flashes. So these are fireflies, and they essentially are getting in synchrony, and they start flashing. Okay, the movie is not that good, but still illustrates towards the end that you have synchrony among these fireflies. Now, before, you didn't really see synchrony. You just saw random ants moving around, and then a few of them start moving, and that's what I call a global emergent behavior. Now, this last movie, I find it fascinating, has little to do with the talk, but since I told you, I figured, oh, not this one, sorry. I want to move it here, or less there. And play it. And what you see is, again, a cloud of agents. Let's call them ants. They are actually called army ants. And what you see is they go around and around. And each ant is chasing the ant in front of it. And you don't know it. This is kind of a mystery. And what happens is that these ants are so fascinated with the pheromone of the ant in front, and for some reason they got into this circle that they keep circling forever, that they eventually die. Okay, so that's another type you could call of a synchrony. Okay, so this is my background. Don't ask me at the end if I have any bio-inspired, because this is as far as I could go. Oh, no, I'm not at your stage yet. Okay, so what we'd like is actually abstract from these something, and while I'm not going to claim at the end that I can explain any of the behaviors, I still want to abstract some characteristics of what we just saw. And this can be for colonies of insects, for herds, for cyber networks, for cyber physical systems. So the model is sufficiently abstract that if you tweak it enough, maybe we can fit it to different applications. But the point I want to make is that you saw combined distributed interactions that somehow led to complex behaviors. Okay, the ants did find the dime, and suddenly, while some of them kept going around randomly, some of others start moving they perform a collective task and achieve a collective decision. They could move the colony or some other. But they performed this without a clear hierarchical structure nor a declared leader. So each agent is very limited, just like we like. So there is no global centralized control. They have very narrow spatial sensing, inadequate cognitive abilities, and so forth. But still, behind all this apparent random behavior of individuals, you can find some coordinate complex behavior. And that's what we'll try to model. Now, I want to distinguish from the fireflies. And the fireflies, which are an example of coupled biological dynamical oscillators, very similar to what happens with the heart rhythms and the Peskin model for the cardiac pacemaker. By the way, the paper has a typo and says cardiac peacemaker. So it's pacemaker. That's what we meant. And fireflies flashing in synchrony, other pulse-coupled biological oscillators. They all and actually for the power grid also, you find these coupled oscillators. They are essentially based on the Kuramoto's model, so dynamical systems that are coupled. What we would like is to explain some other type of behavior, not by using coupled oscillators, but by using stochastic networks. I'll explain what that means, what we mean by that, and come up with long-term limits or averages, just like the previous speaker, in a sense, used some of that. So we don't want to focus our attention when we talk about global behaviors on the random behavior of the ants. When you saw the ants moving the coin, we are not interested on the other ants that were kind of moving around. We want to abstract as a behavior the fact that some of the ants coordinated and carried the time. Okay, we'll see that the techniques are based on ergodic limits. The model is essentially a queuing model generalized for stochastic networks. And the notion of state is going to arise as empirical distribution. So we are not going to focus on the state of each individual agent, but more on average behavior on empirical distributions. And then after some renormalizations and letting the system go very large, then we can come up with appropriate differential equations, ordinary differential or difference equations, and studying the equilibrium of those equations will lead to the global behavior, and also in certain cases we can explain synchrony. So we are going just for you to kind of have an intuition of these ergodic limits and these types of limits when the system grows large. I just want to distinguish here that we have some highly nonlinear system, and the system can be locally behaving here, and so you may have fast fluctuations, and that's diffusion type Brownian approximations. You want the long-term behavior, that's the global equilibrium, so this would be this line or that line. So that's by the mean field methods that we are going to use here. But in these types of stochastic network type systems, from time to time, you have actually dramatic changes, and so it could be changing from this local behavior here to that local behavior, and that would be a rare event, and you'd use other techniques based on large deviations. But we are going to consider these mean field methods and try to abstract as the system grows large, and you kind of factor out the randomness of the individuals and try to abstract the emergent behavior. So our model for these agents is an event-based. Okay, we are not going to model each individual by some dynamical equation. Okay, we are going to say simply that there are events, and then we are going to impose a model that generalizes a model by Antunes, 2006. The model of Antunes you can think of as whatever I say, but restricted to one of these circles here. So what is inside are the agents, and they have some interactions. And then we call these the supernodes. And then the supernodes have some sparse interactions among themselves. You could think of this as ants that somehow are randomly
randomly going around and they find some trails on which they leave their chemical scent, and then other ants find that, and then these trails form. But from time to time, an ant moves from one trail to another trail, and somehow this might reinforce one specific trail, and most of the ants might go into that trail. So that's what we want to explain. So we'll have supernodes, M of them. We can also assume that the agents actually want to achieve different types of activities, tasks. So we call them K classes. We assume that the agents have a certain finite capacity, so they cannot, they don't have infinite capacity. The events will occur. So that's our queuing model. Events are going to occur. They interact, and everything happens at random times. So essentially, we have four types of processes going on here. You have these events that might arrive at a node, at an agent inside one of these super agents, and we will assume a Poisson process with some rate, lambda. Then, as usual in queuing theory, you also have some event influence time. So the event happens, and then it will last for a while, and then it will wither away, and that's an exponential, say, with a certain rate mu. And then there is interaction among these agents here. So if an agent is moving along a certain trail, maybe interacts at random times with other agents, and then the other agent comes and joins the trail. And sometimes an agent jumps from one trail to another trail. We'll call these by parameters gamma. And so gamma I sub k will be intra, and gamma super ij will be inter supernodes. So what happens in these things is that if you really want to focus on the individuals, then you have a very large configuration space. We call that the local configuration space. And essentially, each agent, I told you, could be tasked with k different class of tasks. So each agent would have n1 up to nk. And this k-tuple would define the state of the local agent. And this can be a very large, the state of local interactions, because of the finite capacity, has some restrictions, but you'd have a very large local configuration space. Let's call simply by this capital X the vector of all the interactions. So you vectorize all the nodes at all the sensors, if you wanted to study the dynamics of the system by paying attention how the local states evolve over time, you'd get an intractable problem. So instead of doing local, you do global. And the global is where the empirical distribution comes into play. And basically what you look is the percentage of nodes in a supernode that have a certain configuration at time t. So say if there was only one agent or absence of the agent, what this y would be telling you is the percentage of nodes that are occupied by the agent and the percentage of nodes of empty that have no agents. So this is generalizing that. Now this vector here that represents all the possible values of this empirical distribution, this vector that represents my empirical distribution is going to represent the global behaviors are going to be embedded in that. The interesting thing is that you can prove, it takes a while, but it can prove that this YN is actually a jump Markov process, and then you can use results. It takes, some proof. Basically, you use the fact it's a jump Markov process, then you write the transition rates for the jump Markov process, and then you use some martingale results, and essentially what it comes out is that when you let the dimension of the system, the number of agents, in each of the supernodes, not the supernode structure. The number of supernodes is fixed, but so the number of trails is fixed, but the number of agents in each trail grows very large. If you do that, then you can show, using the arguments I mentioned before, that in fact that empirical distribution goes to this ordinary differential equation, and the right-hand side basically has all these terms here, but basically they can grouped into two terms. I mentioned to you this comes from Markov processes, transition rates. The first one is when somehow an extra agent gets active, and the blue ones comes from the fact that extra agents, you reduce the number of agents by one. And so that's basically this balancing act that is the vector field of this ordinary differential equation. So there are several comments I could make. The one I want to make is this one here, that the fixed points of this ODE, i.e. the points where the right-hand side is going to be zero, correspond to the global equilibria. And then one can show that, in fact, the under very reasonable conditions, there is an at least one equilibria. There are there could be multiple equilibria, which would lead to what we call metastability. So very dramatic changes in the global behavior. Like I was saying, all the ants being on one trail suddenly switching to another trail. And the interesting point is that by using some reversibility of stochastic networks, results that go back to the 80s, you can show that the solution is actually almost a factored form. It's not exactly a factored form because of the partition function, the normalization function, but it's almost like a these rows that appear here in the solution, these rows will be expressed in terms of the lambdas and gammas that I showed before. I'm gonna simply finally say that there is synchronous global equilibria, and the synchronous global equilibria essentially is when all these rows here are equal. Okay, and under certain conditions, you can actually show that there is a solution which leads to these rows being all equal, and those conditions are essentially that the gammas need to satisfy the gammas and the mu's need to satisfy some algebraic condition. Okay, and basically what happens at each supernode is kind of a balancing act. If one is running too fast, the other has to run too slow, so that on average you get something that is not a function of the individual agents, but is a function of the class, essentially. So that's all I wanted to say about ants and bees. We are not explaining ants, but we are explaining how global behavior can emerge from random interactions, that we should not focus on the individuals, but should focus on some average behavior. In the background, the ants keep going around. That's the diffusion approximation. We don't care about that. We care about the trend, about the drift, let's say. And different global behaviors, we have now to stare at those equations. We have not yet been able to do that, but we have to stare at those equations, look for choices of parameters that can explain actually different equilibria, and so justify metastability, show that, in fact, you get metastability. And I'm going to stop here. No, the classes are not groups of nodes. The classes are tasks that the agent could be performing. Okay? Each state can be in the k-tuple, in each of the k-tuple values. Yeah, each agent. Yeah. No, what we have in terms of our model, so we have these local nodes, and we have these large nodes, okay? You could think, if this was like the power grid, you could think of all the loads in a city, and then the cities are connected among themselves, so you have the super nodes, okay? So what's inside is the local, is like the ants, and what I'm saying is that these red things are groups of ants in a specific trail, okay? And the, and each ant could actually, for ants, I think that's not very realistic, but could actually be trying to perform two different tasks, okay? What exactly?